Well, there were two great gospel hymns we sang together tonight. And it's good to know that we're resting on Christ alone for salvation. Now, I want you to turn in the Word of God that we read together in the Old Testament to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 1. And I want to speak tonight at verse 4. It tells us about what the man was to do who brought his offering. And you'll find here, he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and that shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. Laying your hand upon the head of the sacrifice. And this is what we want to look at together tonight in our gospel meeting. So let's pray. Let's ask God to bless us around his word and help us as we seek to preach Christ tonight from his word. Loving Father in heaven, Lord, we seal our hearts before you tonight. I pray that thou wilt be with us now as we've come around thy word. The entrance of thy word, it giveth light. I ask you, Lord, that the glorious light of the gospel would shine into hearts of men and women and boys and girls here tonight outside of Christ. I pray, Lord, as a result of this gospel meeting, that many will find Christ as their Lord and their Savior. I pray you'll close us in with thyself. I ask you, Lord, to give us the power of the Holy Spirit. We read of the apostles that they preached the gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. And give us such meetings, we ask of thee. Continue with us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. From the very beginning of the scriptures until the end, there is a scarlet thread running right throughout the pages. And the theme and the message that we find here in the Word of God is the blood sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. The message about the death of the Son of God is found in picture forms. It is found in passages. It is found in prophetic utterance by the prophets. It certainly is found in the preaching of the Word of God. Take, for instance, the ministry of the Apostle Paul. He says in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified. In fact, he says in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 2, remarkable words that he said unto this church. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, the Apostle Paul was a man of great power. He was a man who could do great miracles. And yet when he wrote his letter, his epistle to this church, he says there's only one theme. There's only one message that I want to leave before you. And that's Jesus Christ and him crucified. This was the message. This was the message above all other themes and all other things he could bring before this congregation was Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, this great event, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, is brought before us in typical form in the book of Leviticus. Maybe sometimes you come to this book and you read it and you say, well, what does it all mean? The fat, the blood, the death, the altar, the burnings. What does all these things mean? All these things mean that Jesus Christ will come to die. In picture form, throughout the pages here in the book of Leviticus, God shows us great lessons about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ that was to come. That's why you'll read in this book about many offerings. You'll read about the burnt offering. That's what we read about tonight in chapter 1. You'll read about the peace offering. You'll read about the trespass, the meat, and the sin offering. And God is selling out all of these laws for these sacrifices to be made unto him. Now, he gives instructions. The Lord gives instructions that the animals that were to be used were to be pure. And that's why you find when you read here the book of Leviticus, over and over and over again, it tells us that the offering was to be without blemish. Now, you look at verse 3. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a meal without blemish. Look at verse 10. And if his offering be of the flocks, namely of the sheep or of the goats, for a burnt offering, he shall bring it a meal without blemish. And the law of God was very strict on this. There were to be no blemishes in any of the sacrifices. And before the sacrifice was to be made, it had to be inspected. And when the high priest looked over the sacrifice, if he saw any blemish, even if it was only a little blemish, it was rejected. The Bible was very strict on this. The sacrifice had to be spotless. It had to be without blemish. Now let me say to you tonight, this represents the purity and the sinlessness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is without blemish. The Bible says that him is no sin. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21 it says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin." The Lord Jesus Christ has no blemishes. There's no sin in the life of the Son of God. He's without blemish. Now this little bullock, this sheep, this goat showed us that the Lord Jesus Christ will be a pure sacrifice. Of course, when you read the Bible, you'll find that the enemies came against the Son of God. They questioned him. They watched him. So much so that the Lord Jesus said to them, "Which of you convinceth me of sin?" Pointed out, he says, "Have you ever seen any sin in my life, in my words, in my actions? Have you found sin?" They were speechless. Pilate said, when he looked at Jesus Christ, "I find no fault in this man." You see, he's without blemish, the Lord Jesus Christ. You will find that, of course, in his life. Now, also the sacrifice not only had to be pure, it had to be killed. You see that in verse 5. "And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord." Look at verse 11. "And he shall kill it on the side of the altar northwards." And so we find here not only was a sacrifice to be without blemish. God is very clear what was to happen to this offering. The Bible says that he shall kill it. It had to be killed. You see, the unblemished bullock or the sheep or the goat, it was not enough. It was not enough. The man could have brought his offering. He could have brought his sacrifice. As a priest looked upon it and says, "Well, I see no blemish in it. There's not a mark upon it." But that was not enough. It had to die. And the Bible says, "He shall kill it before the Lord." And the knife was applied and the blood was shed, you see. And this bullock, as it says here in verse 5, "He shall kill the bullock before the Lord." It was not enough just to be without blemish. It had to die. Now that tells us, it's not enough. It was not enough for the Lord Jesus Christ to come into this world and live a perfect life. And we know he came into this world. And we know he lived a perfect life. But that's not enough. The Lord Jesus Christ, who left heaven and came down into this world, he had to die. He had to shed his blood. He was a propitiation for our sins. And so when the Son of God came into this world and lived a perfect life, he had to die. There's no other way. And he had to die, can I say, before the Lord. Remember the preaching of Peter? In Acts chapter 3, verse 14, he was still telling these Jewish people a few home truths. And he says to them in Acts chapter 3 and verse 14, "But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life." Look at the strong terms, the strong words that Peter used to these people. He tells them about their sin. "You chose Barabbas instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what you did. You killed the Prince of Life." Listen. He should kill it before the Lord. And the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross. He was killed. He was killed. And so you find here in the sacrifice that it was killed. And the Lord Jesus, the Bible tells us in Romans 5 verse 6, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for us." He died for us. And so the bullock was without blemish. And the bullock had to be killed. But we find here another thing that was mentioned in this offering. The offerer had to do something. The Bible is very clear what he had to do. He had to lay his hand or put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering. And so we see the picture that is coming here before us. This man comes here to the tabernacle, to the very door of the tabernacle, and he brings his sacrifice. And before it's put to death, he puts his hand upon the head of the offering. Now you'll find this mentioned a number of times. Go to chapter 3 and verse 2. Speaking about the peace offering. Look at verse 1. And if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offered it of the herd, whether it be male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering. Look down to verse 7, chapter 3, verse 7. If he offer a lamb for his offering, then shall he offer it before the Lord, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering. In verse 12 of chapter 3, and if his offering be a goat, then he shall offer it before the Lord, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of it. Now we find this throughout the Bible here in the book of Leviticus. He was to do something when he brought his offering. And when he brought his sacrifice, he is to put his hand upon his head. What did that all mean? Why did God tell us a number of times here in the book of Leviticus when they came with their offering that the one who had offended God, the one who offered the sacrifice, that he had to reach out his hand? And he had to put his hand upon the head of the sacrifice. Why was this? What did it all mean? Well, let me give you three things about laying your hand upon the head of the sacrifice. And first of all, I want to say, well, he did this. He was confessing their sin. The people were confessing their sin. When the Israelite laid his hand upon the head of the sacrifice, you know what he was doing? He was being honest, of course. He was taking the sinner's place before the Lord. And when he brought a sacrifice, he was confessing himself to be a sinner. It was a personal confession. When he reached forth his hand upon the head of the offering, he was saying, I have sinned. I have sinned against the Lord. I have sinned. I have broken God's law. I am guilty. I am foul. I have failed the Lord. And he was making this confession when he put his hand upon the head of this sacrifice. He was saying, Lord, I have sinned. I have sinned against thee. And that's why he laid his hand upon the head of the offering. You look at chapter 4 and verse 22 of this book of Leviticus. In Leviticus chapter 4 and verse 22. Notice, when a ruler has sinned, notice that, when he has sinned, and done somewhat through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord his God concerning things which should not be done and is guilty, or if his son wherein he has sinned come to his knowledge, he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a male without blemish, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of the goat. The Bible tells us here, if a person sins, he was to bring this offering. And he was to lay his hand upon the head. What is he confessing? He's confessing, I need a sacrifice. He's confessing, Lord, that I have sinned against thee. And he puts his own hand upon the head of this offering. He is confessing he had sinned. Of course that is true. The Bible tells us, for instance, in 1 Kings 8 and verse 46, the prayer of Solomon, if they sin against thee, and here's what he said, for there is no man that sinneth not. That is true of all men. That is true of all people in the times here that we're reading about in the Old Testament. That is true of every person that ever lived in this world. It's true of every person in this meeting. It's true even of myself. We have all failed. We have all broken God's laws. And we have all sinned against Him. And when this man was coming with his offering and put his hand upon the head, he was saying, "Lord, I have sinned." He's making this confession. Of course, he was unclean. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing." And this man was saying that, "Lord, I have sinned. Lord, I have failed. Lord, I have broken thy laws. Lord, I have sinned against thee. Lord, I am guilty." He puts his hand. It's his hand. Notice that. Nobody else's hand is put upon the head of this sacrifice. It's his hand. He's confessing himself that he has sinned. He could not send a friend to put his hand upon the head of this offering. He could not send another member of his family to go and put their hand upon the head of this orphan. It was his. Do you know why? It was his sin. It's his sin. I can't go and confess the sin of somebody else. You can't get somebody to confess your sin for you. It's your sin. It's by your confession, unsaved person in this meeting tonight. You have failed the Lord. You have broken His laws. It's your sin. Of course, we pass it around. We blame other people for sin. We make excuses. But remember this. It's your sin. It's your sin. It's my sin. And this man then, he was confessing. Just by doing this. "Lord, I've sinned." And you know, it was not only just a personal confession. It was a public confession. Because notice here in verse 3, "If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a meal without blemish. And he should offer it of his own voluntary will." Listen, at the door of a tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. You see, this was a public setting. This is not done in some closet like the Roman church would so-called teach. You have to go in to the confessional box and you close the door and only there's another so-called priest at the other side of the window. He talk into his ear and all of these things. This was not done in secret. This was public. Think of the man coming up the street, leaving his tents, leaving his family, bringing the bullock with him. The people looked at him. They said he sinned against the Lord. They saw him walking up to the door of the tabernacle. The people could see him going there. They said he sinned against the Lord. When the priests and the high priest looked upon this man, everybody who saw him going with this sacrifice, everyone who saw him with their eye going here to the door of the tabernacle of the Lord, they could see that here was a man and he has sinned. He has sinned against the Lord, because if he had not sinned, he wouldn't be going. He wouldn't be coming to the door of the tabernacle. He wouldn't be bringing his bullock or his goat or his sheep, as we read on down the passage. He wouldn't have to reach forth his hand and put forth his hand upon the head of the orphan if he'd ever sinned. But you see, he did sin. And everybody saw him. The people saw him as around about the door at this particular time. You see, and he was shown that he was guilty. This was public. And the people knew all about it. And I think of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ in Romans 5 verse 8. "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners," you know, Christ died for us. He is our only sacrifice for our sin. And you and I must, by faith, come and lay our hand upon the head of the Son of God. We must confess that we have sinned. The prodigal son says in Luke chapter 15 and verse 18, "I will arise. I will go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I will go home again. I will say to my father, I have sinned." You know, people saw him going up the road. People saw him coming home. He had sinned against the Lord. Now let me say to you this. In the first point, we need to acknowledge we have sinned against God. In Psalm 32 and verse 5, he says, "I acknowledge my sin unto thee." And mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and I forgive us the iniquity of my sin. And so what we're saying here, when a sinner comes to Christ by faith, he is saying before the Lord, he is saying, Lord, I have sinned. I need a Savior. I need a sacrifice. And by faith we reach forth our hand. We say, Lord, I need a Savior. Now there are many people today who's never done this. There are people today who's full of self-righteousness. Like that man in the Luke chapter 18, the Pharisee, who praised himself in the temple, who said how good he was and what he did and what he did not do. He was full of self-righteousness, but he had never laid his hand by faith upon the head of Jesus Christ. He had never confessed that he was a sinner. Now, this is the first step in salvation. How can we be saved if we do not know we need to be saved? How can we be forgiven for our sins if we do not know that we have sinned against the Lord? We must make that confession. The man put forth his hand, he made it. Personally and publicly. I have sinned against the Lord. Have you ever taken this step? Young person in the meeting, have you ever taken this first step? Older person in this meeting. Maybe some people here have been going to church from a young person. I asked you, have you ever taken this first step of salvation? Lord, I have sinned against thee. I acknowledge my sin. Remember Jeremiah 3 and verse 13. It says, only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God. Only acknowledge it. This was the message of the prophet Jeremiah. Acknowledge that you have sinned against God. Have you taken this step? That's the first step of salvation. I'm a sinner. I have sinned against the Lord. And he was the man putting forth his hand. Well, he was making this confession. He was honest. He was honest with himself. He was honest before the Lord that he had sinned against the Lord. Let's be honest tonight. Let's look into our hearts. Let's look at your life unsaved here tonight. Do you see your sin? You have sinned against the Lord. The second thing about laying his hand upon the head of the sacrifice, I say, he was confessing his sin upon the sacrifice. As he put his hand upon the head of his sacrifice, he realizes by divine appointment that his sin was now been placed upon the head of this bullock. Now you'll find this over in Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 21. In Leviticus chapter 16 and the verse 21, the Day of Atonement. And it tells us what happens. You can see in chapter 16 verse 21. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins. Notice the words, putting them upon the head of the goat. And shall send them away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. Well, of course, that is the Day of Atonement. But the same principle here is found in Leviticus chapter 1. When this man was putting his hand upon the head of the sacrifice, he realized that his sin now was being placed upon the bullock, upon the sacrifice. Where were the sins now? He realized they were upon the sacrifice. He placed them. He said, there they are. They're upon the sacrifice. This is where he put them. Now you see, what happened when he did this? When his sin, typically speaking, were here tonight. When his sin was placed upon the bullock, notice what happened. Verse 5, and he should kill the bullock before the Lord. There was death. There was blood. When this man put his hand upon the head, the knife was placed into the neck or whatever of the bullock. It was put to death. I think of this man standing here. As he looked upon the bullock, he realized, it should have been me who died. It should have been my blood that was shed. But he realized just by simply putting his hand upon the head here of this sacrifice. that this sacrifice, this bullock, had died in his place. And so he was confessing his sins onto the head of this bullock. And when you and I read the Word of God, this is what happened at Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ, as we learned there in the introduction, he never sinned. But you know what the Bible tells us? That our sins was placed upon him. Now, I'll give you a couple of references, because Peter in the Old and in the New Testament said in 1 Peter 2 and verse 24, when he spoke about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. And Peter is very sure of this fact. When the Lord Jesus Christ hung upon the cross, our sins was placed upon him. Of course, that was taught in the Old Testament. The prophet Isaiah, hundreds of years before the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And then he said these words, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And the prophet Isaiah realized what was going to happen when the Son of God came into this world. That God would take our sin and he would lay all our sin upon his Son. Our sin was transferred on to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this happened when the Lord Jesus came into this world. The sin now is his. The guilt now is his. The punishment now is his. The death, it's all the Lord Jesus. And so we say here tonight that he suffered, and he suffered greatly upon the cross. As he died for us on the middle tree, you see, he died in the place of sinners. And so when the unsaved comes to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight by faith, we're saying, Lord, my sins have been laid upon you. You have died for me. That's what I did many years ago when I got saved. The minister looked at me and says, do you believe Jesus Christ died for you? I said, I do. I was taking the place, like this man here in this passage. I was saying, my sins was placed where? On the Lord Jesus. They were placed upon him. He loved me. He came into this world. He went to the cross. He bled. He died for me. And by faith, I was saying that Jesus Christ, he's my Savior. He's my substitute. And my sins, which are so vile and so many, they're now laid upon him. And that's a statement here we find. This man reaching forth his hand. The sins belong to the sacrifice. You know that great hymn that we sing in our hymn book? I laid my sins on Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. He bears them all and frees us from the accursed load. Listen, do you believe Jesus Christ died for you? Do you believe when he went to the cross that your sins was placed upon him? This, of course, is faith. This is believing what is found and taught in the Word of the living God. We are to lay our hand by faith on the Son of God. Lord, I believe you love me. I believe, Lord Jesus, you died for me. And I put my faith upon thee that thou hast died for my sins. My sins, which are so vile and so many, I believe that they were placed upon you. This man laid his hand upon the head of a sacrifice. He was showing us that sin had been placed upon the sacrifice. And I said again tonight to the people who's listening, do you believe that the Lord Jesus died for you? We cannot fully understand it, of course. Can I understand how the Lord Jesus would love me so much that he would go to the cross and bleed and die? We cannot fully understand it. But I said, do you believe it? You want to get to heaven. You want to get your sins forgiven. You must believe that God sent the Son into this world to be our Savior and to die for our sins. And then you reach forth your hand by faith upon the head of Christ and say, Lord, I believe. I believe you died for me. I believe you suffered greatly for me. You see, he laid his hand upon the head of the offering. The sins was now place. Typically speaking, I had to say that tonight. Upon the bullock. And we get saved or coming to know Christ, but believe our sins was laid upon him and he died in my place. That's a wonderful gospel truth. It's found and taught in the word of the living God that Jesus loved me and Jesus died for me. Our sins were placed upon him. And can I say in the third place that laying upon the hand upon the head of his sacrifice meant a covering for his sin. If you look at the word in verse 4, he's put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering and this shall be accepted for him to, notice, to make an atonement for him. Now this word atonement, it means to cancel or cleanse or pardon or reconcile or to cover. Now I had to say this, it was not this blood of the bullock that would cover his sin. It was only a picture form of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now we find that when we come to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10 and verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. This was only a symbol of the blood of Jesus Christ. God was using this picture form to show salvation, forgiveness. It's in the blood. And when this man put forth his hand upon the head of this offering, it got him a covering for his sin. It got him forgiveness for his sins. And he found peace. And he found rest just by simply putting his hand upon the head of this offering. His sins were covered. The word put actually means to lean upon. You know what it is to lean upon something? You're depending upon this. You're just putting your all upon it. And this was what this man did who had sinned against the Lord. He put his hand upon the head of the sacrifice. He was leaning upon the sacrifice. He was putting his all upon this. That pointed him to Jesus Christ. That the Lord Jesus Christ would shed his blood and his blood would take away his sin. See, doing this brought him an acceptance. It brought him forgiveness. He comes guilty. He has sinned against the Lord. People have watched him as he has walked up to the door of the tabernacle. They have watched him as he brought his sacrifice. Maybe some could see him putting forth his hand upon the head. But he didn't care. Because he got forgiveness. He went home a different man. He went back cleansed because it shall make an atonement for him. And I say to you, what made the difference? What made the difference now in the life of this man? We're reading about here in the book of Leviticus. It was a blood. It was a sacrifice. I ask you tonight, what had he in his hands? The sacrifice. That's the only thing he had. I said to the congregation tonight, it was all that he needed. That's all he needed. And I say again, it was all that God required of him. All God required was this. He put his hand upon this sacrifice and he'd be killed. That's what God said. This is the law that is given here in the book of Leviticus. The Lord did not ask him to do works. Show me thy works. Hold up your hands. Let me see your hands and see the works that thou hast done. Then you'll get an atonement for your sin. The Lord did not ask him to bring money or to bring riches. What is that in thy hand? Well, Lord, it's silver and gold. It's much money. The Lord didn't ask him to put his hand upon money. The Lord never asked him to put his hand upon the tabernacle, which was a great building. God dwelt in the Holy of Holies. The Lord didn't say, go and lay your hand upon the tabernacle and you'll get forgiveness. The Lord never said to this man, go and lay your hand upon Aaron, the high priest. Put your hand upon them. But the message was very, very clear. To get mercy, he put his hand upon the head of the offering. Upon the sacrifice. It was all that he needed. I said to you tonight, it was all that he trusted. He was looking by faith, of course, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of that great verse in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 13 to do with the Passover in the days of Moses. The Lord says, "And when I see the blood, I will pass over you," you see. We sing that great hymn sometimes, "Nothing in my hands I bring, but simply to the cross I cling." And the bullock had lay down dead, and the blood was shed, and the man went home free. Because he put his hand upon the head of his sacrifice. And he got forgiveness. I want to say it to you tonight in closing. This is the message of the gospel. This is the message of the Bible. How can you and I that are so guilty before God in our sin, how can we be forgiven? Well, the Bible says, for instance, in John 1 verse 29, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold Jesus Christ." It is Christ that takes away our sin. Think of Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, he says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." Now what do you notice that tonight? How can we be forgiven? How can we get all our sins taken away? It's the blood of Jesus Christ. How can you and I, who have sinned many times before the Lord, and we are unclean in his sight, how can we be cleansed? The Bible says in 1 John 1 and verse 7, "And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." How can we be saved? It's the blood of Jesus Christ that we get eternal life. And so I say unto you tonight, you see, we need the Lord Jesus to be our Savior. This is the teaching of the Bible. I look around me today, there are people and they're holding on to a church, their hands is upon a church, and they say, "Well, I've got my church." God forbid it tonight there's any in this meeting. You say, "Well, I'm trusting the free church to get me to heaven." Take your hand off the church. The church cannot save you. There may be someone tonight and you're holding on to your works. Oh, you say, "I've lived a sort of upright life. I try to help people." Nothing wrong with those things. But don't be holding on to that to get to heaven. Maybe some tonight saying, "Well, I'm holding on to my religion. Holding on to commandments," which are very, very important, by the way. But it's no good. It doesn't save you. Listen, it doesn't say lay your hand upon your parents. And if you, young people tonight, if you have believing parents and Christian parents, you thank the Lord for them. But they're bringing you up with the Bible and they're teaching you the gospel of Jesus Christ. But don't think that by holding the hand of your parents, you'll get to heaven. No, you must lay your own hand upon the head of Jesus Christ by faith. Then we are saved, you see. These other things are worthless. Worthless to save us. Talking just about it as well will not certainly take away your sin. You say, "Well, I'm thinking about getting saved. I'm thinking about getting right with God." Well, talking about these things will not get you salvation. Listen tonight. You must lay your hand upon Jesus Christ by faith. And if you do that tonight, I don't have to know about your sin. I don't have to know how vile they are. I don't have to know how many your sin are. God knows all about that. But I can say it tonight from this pulpit in closing. If you repent from your sin, if you come by faith to Jesus Christ, say, "Lord Jesus, I trust thee to be my Savior." I say this on the authority of the Bible. Every sin will be forgiven. Every sin will be taken away. And you will go home a new man. In Luke chapter 18, we did make reference to it about the Pharisee who prayed with himself, of course, and how he thanked God that he's not as other men, and so on. But the publican who felt the sin that was in his life and in his heart, and he knew as he stood before God, he was not right with the Lord. I said in verse 13 of Luke chapter 18, And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Do you hear his cry? He's looking by faith to the blood of Jesus Christ. He said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Know what the Lord Jesus said? I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Know the Lord Jesus says he went home saved. Down to his house justified. He went back home forgiven. He went back home a new man. Because he laid his hand upon the head of the sacrifice, which was Christ that was coming to die for sinners. And so we find here that Jesus Christ is the Savior. You must repent from your sin and trust him. And I just say this in closing. He's all you need. He's all you need. This was the only thing this man was told to do. Bring the offering, confess his sin, put his hand upon the head of the offering, and he went home forgiven. This is what you need to do. Repent and come to Jesus Christ and lay your hand upon his head by faith. Now I say to you tonight in closing, what have you got in your hand? What are you holding on to? What are you trusting? What are you leaning upon in order to get your sins forgiven and to be brought to heaven? If it's anything, doesn't matter how good it may be in its own place, it's worthless. You need to come to Jesus Christ and trust him. I remember the day I went by faith. I laid my hand upon the head of Jesus by faith, and all my sins, which were so many, were washed away in the blood. And the Lord Jesus can do that for you tonight. May you come and trust him. Don't put off salvation. Don't put off getting right with God. We know not what a day may bring forth. I've heard about a dear sister just a couple of days ago, taken out into eternity, suddenly. Could be anyone in this meeting. Are you ready to meet God? Are you ready to die? Don't die without Jesus Christ in your hands, in your heart. But trust him. May the Lord write his word upon our hearts. If anyone has any questions, we'll be glad to speak with you tonight. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for being with us. Thank you for the gospel illustration here that's found, typically speaking, Lord, in the Old Testament. I ask you that for any tonight who's not right with thee will come by faith to the Lord Jesus. And Lord, lay their hand upon your head. We know in the authority of the word of God, if they truly believe and truly repent, they will be saved and have everlasting life. I ask you to be with us now as we go our separate ways, and take us, Lord, to our homes in safety. Until we meet again in this fashion, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.